This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, July 24, 2020. Boy, time goes by fast, right? We have 5 trading days left in July. First month of the, third quarter of the year. And of course, the market continues to be volatile. Another down day today. 2 down days in a row. We haven't seen one of those in a while. So what does that mean? It may not mean anything yet. And of course, the effects of the COVID-19 virus is disrupting everything. As it spikes in numbers. We're just going to have more volatility. The government, the Democrats and Republicans are trying to agree on another spending package. Europe's agreed on a big spending package already. You know, we've already spent, $3 trillion, $6 trillion? What's $1 trillion here and there? Trillion. It's hard to fathom, I just tell you. But that's what's going on. So in this program, this program tries to bring all that stuff down to earth, down to understandability by all of us. Okay, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to provide answers to your financial investment questions. You know, you need strategies. You want to know how to deal with the volatility, and that's what we're here for. 888-99-CHART is our number. You can call and ask any question you want, as long as it's financial, and we'll discuss it. I'm Steve Peasley, and here on Invest Talk and at my company, KPP Financial, based in Irvine, California, we always operate on the same premise, a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. Justin Klein and I, our firm is a bit different. How? We buy the same things we do for ourselves as we do for our clients. Same time, same price. We call it parallel investing. We've been doing it for years and years. We continue to do it. We put our own money on the line with our clients on our same investments. Now, we have different level of risks that we have, different programs for different level of risks to suit whatever you might need. But we do, even in every one of those programs, we have money in. So that's what we do. Remember, we're ready to take your calls now, 888-99-CHART. And with everything that is going on, you have to make sure you're not putting off the same objective you've always had, and that's financial freedom at a certain point. When does that come into, no matter what, you still have to go. If the market collapses tomorrow, that goal is the same. You still have to reach it. And you can. It's not impossible. I don't care what happens in the economy, the market, it's not impossible. You just keep at it. Just keep pumping money into your investments. You'll reach your goal. The main point that we have today, I'm going to discuss is people thinking too short term. That's a problem. So that's going to be the focus point today. And we're going to be, this is an interview with SEC Chairman Clayton. Says he is worried about short-term trading for stocks like Tesla. He didn't mention Tesla, by the way. Prices are not justified, and they are not. How come Tesla? And it's a great company. Don't misunderstand me. Great car, and I think it's. And I've said this for years. You know, ever since it came out, I think it's going to be the number 3 car company in the United States, GM, Ford, Tesla, and it's going to keep growing. But I have a hard time believing that it is worth both Ford and GM combined. How can a company be worth that with a fraction of the auto sales? So that's what the SEC is talking about. We're getting some more details on it. Of course, I got other things I want to discuss. How about new home sales? Did you see that? See the existing home sales? Well, we'll talk about that. The FDA says there are 75 sanitizers that are toxic. You know, those hand things everybody's squeezing, putting on their hands, rubbing their hands. There's 75 products out there that are toxic that you could be buying. You got to be very careful with what you're buying. I want to get into that. And let's talk a little bit about the tensions with China. It kind of is not being discussed. Have you noticed that? But it is there, and I think we need to talk about that too. Okay, the market was down. The Dow was down 182. That's the second day in a row it's been down. The NASDAQ down 98, and the S&P down 20. So are we starting to see a little bit of a pullback, a crack in this march up? And I think we might get our pullback simply because the Congress is going to have a very heated debate on what money is going to be spent on what this little new package are coming out. They're not going to agree. The Republicans and Democrats are not going to agree. Both want to take credit for it. Both agree that a spending package is necessary. That's what they're both agreeing on. But neither one of them want to give the other side credit. And you know what? You're in an election year. It's very difficult for them to set aside their differences. They want to use it to get either reelected or elected president. So it's going to be an interesting fight. And therefore, that I still think they'll come to a deal. But the last package of unemployment benefits runs out this month. So they haven't gotten to an agreement on the next one. So I think we're looking at an August where you'll not have those extra paychecks coming into the unemployment line stuff. It might be September when that finally kicks in, that next package. And therefore, we might get a little pullback in the market as the two sides argue and don't come to an agreement. That might take a couple weeks. Oh, we might see weakness. When they come to agreement, that's another $1 to $3 trillion more dollars coming into the system, and I think the market will start taking off again. That's my opinion. We'll see if it works out. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and looking at the calendar, August is, of course, just around the corner. Then the next stop will be Labor Day. For investors, the uncertainty of economic and political news is churning the market, producing a lot of volatility. So how can you be better prepared for market swings that are likely to continue for some time? Well, we should talk about that. And your participation is always the main driver of this show. So I need you. We are here taking your calls live, 888-99-CHART.
It's an Invest Talk Friday. Steve Peasley is on duty, and he's happy to provide unbiased answers, but you've got to call with your questions. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. Love the show. This is Colt from Kansas. I just was curious about Boston Scientific, code BSX, and if it was a good long-term buy for a core holding in a portfolio. Thanks.
Yes, it is a good long-term buy for core holding in a portfolio, but it's expensive right now. So BSX, everybody, develops medical devices for cardiovascular rhythm management and other internal things for products to help your heart, lungs, and other kinds of things. So Boston Scientific is a very good company. It's a $55 billion company. It's always made money. It made $1.58 last year, going to make 95 cents this year, $1.69 next year. Why is it dropping? Because everything's focused on COVID. So all the hospitals, shutting down other services and doing different things, for people, they postpone those. So the earnings are going to be down. But it's going to earn $1.69 next year, and it's a $38 stock. So you're talking about a 21, 22 PE. That's not excessively expensive. The five-year range is 16 to 30. So it's kind of in the middle. Good cash flow. Does not pay a dividend, which is really surprising for a big company like this. It's one thing I don't like. Its sales growth have been pretty consistent in the low, mid to high single digits, and recent couple of quarters, the low double digits. So it's a very good company. But I'd wait for a pullback. If it got, you know, it's hitting resistance right now, right around $38, $39. If it pulls back into low 30s, I would just go ahead and close my eyes and buy it. It got as low as 26 or so, 25, 26 in the March low. Okay, my focus point today concerns this story. SEC Chairman Clayton says he is worried about short-term trading for stocks like Tesla. Is the concern justified? Well, the SEC has issued guidance to brokers and investment advisors on how to give individuals proper warning about the risks. What he noted, and it's true, he noted that a lot of individual investors are pouring money into these kinds of stocks, and they are looking for short-term gains rather than for long-term investments. And that's been true for since the beginning of time. That's nothing new. But with all the money flooding in, I mentioned earlier a couple days ago about talking to somebody who's getting their extra check from the government, for unemployment check, and want to know what he should buy with it in the stock market. Now, that concerns me because I can guarantee you that's not a long-term thinking kind of situation. And that's what the short-term trading has caused a lot of stocks to shoot up, especially in the tech area. You've seen it. And the question is, are they justified in the prices, the price of sales ratio, the price of earnings, the margins, all those things traditionally that you look at and you say, well, gee, they seem to be expensive. And as soon as I hear the word from somebody out there that says, well, this time it's different, I know that it's going to be over. But it's never different. It always comes back to earnings, fundamentals, and you want to buy the stocks with good fundamentals and not overpay. We've noticed in our office, a slight change now where value is starting to outperform growth. And it's been many years that has not been the truth, that the growth outperformed value. And they change positions all the time, over time. I say over time, all the time, I don't mean this week, next week kind of thing. More like this 3 or 4 years, and then this 3 or 4 years. Growth wins, value wins, long term. And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen value outperform growth in many, many years. So my speculation is at some point it will. And I think I'm looking for that signal. I am looking for that signal. You should be too. Don't be trying to chase performance. That's always been a mistake in history. Chasing performance has always been a mistake. Try not to do that. As you might have noticed, each Friday I make a practice to quickly review some of the key benchmark numbers. The 2-year treasury yield is at 0.14. Not much. 10-year treasury is at 0.58. So a little more than 0.5% per year for 10 years. That's not very good. The price of gold, $1,889 per ounce, still going up. Silver is also going up, and silver is trying to catch up. It should. It's a better value at this point than gold. Oil is priced at $40.72 a barrel. Gasoline at the pump nationwide, $2.18. Okay, Utah gas is $2.27. Here in California, $3.15. Expensive still. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, everybody. And if you've been listening to Invest Talk for a while, you have heard me say that I believe every investor should determine their individual risk tolerance. And that's a first step in building a profitable portfolio, one that you can handle. So let's talk about that. 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk, the radio program and podcast dedicated to helping you achieve financial freedom. You may be a regular listener, You may even have called a few times. But if you've never called, what are you waiting for? The phone lines are open, and Steve and Justin would love to hear your questions right now. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Dylan from Oregon. Calling in for your take on Macy's, TEM, as in Macy's. I've held a position for a few months and want to hold on long term. But as I've watched JCPenney fall into bankruptcy, I'm kind of getting a little, forming a little concern that Macy's might follow suit. A few indicators, however, just a low PE and some strong productivity to kind of mitigate the turbulence are kind of offsetting my doubts, however. Should I sell now that I'm down about 20% or perhaps buy in a bit more? Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Do not buy more. Macy's, everybody, operates 839 department stores in 43 states, D.C., Puerto Rico, and Guam. I think Macy's might survive, but you know they're going to lose $4.36 a share this year. Well, actually, their 2021 fiscal year, which is they're into now. And then make 51 cents a share next year to $6.45 stock. Sales in the most recent quarter fell 45%. There's no reason for you to own a big box store long term. They're being crushed. And you just pointed out one, JCPenney's. Or look at it this way. Macy's, since 2015, the high of the stock was 73. 2016, the high was 45. 2017, a high of 36. 2018, the high of 41. Then a high of 31 in 2019, and a high of 18 in 2020. That pattern tells you that it's going to go down. It's not. You might get a bounce back to $10 a share. That's possible. But there's no reason for, on a long-term basis, to hold any department store. There are too many other stocks that are much, much better than that. Okay, we had the lean economic indicators come out this week. It was 2% versus 3.2% the month before, but positive 2%, meaning that the economy is going to grow over the next few months. But the interesting stat I saw was new home sales, 776,000 last month. They expected 710, and it was 682,000 the month before. So this is a huge increase of above the expectation and above last month, almost 100,000 more homes. Strongest rate of growth in 13 years. That happened in before the COVID in January, the next strongest. So sales rose in all four regions. And the largest gain in sales was in the Northeast at 89% gain. Now, one more point. It is still a tight market with only 4.7 months worth of supply. That's the inventory. Normally, if it was normal, where there's a balance, it'd be about 6 months. So obviously, you know why, because mortgage rates are so very, very low, being driven by the Fed. And I think the mortgage rates are going to be very low for some time. And I think we are at or very close to the bottom of mortgage rates. No one really knows, but I think we are. This is historical lows on mortgage. Historical. Never been there before. Okay? So let's keep moving. We have one more voicemail, bank, and 888-99-CHART. Let's go ahead and take it.
Hello, Steve or Justin. Thank you so much for your podcast. I'm calling about OHI. It's a real estate investment trust that owns long-term care facilities. I bought it at around 24, and I'm now seeing that their payout ratio is 160%. So I'm wondering, is there something I'm missing here, and if this is a good investment? Thank you for your time.
They have to pay out most of their earnings, and I don't think that's quite right. They're a $31 stock. They're going to make $3 a share. 10% of that, if they pay 90% of that in the form of a dividend, which they have to, okay, that's $2.70. And as a percentage of $31, that's about where it is, about 8% yield. Now, I don't think you need to worry about it on that sense. Omega Healthcare, everybody, it's a REIT that invests in healthcare facilities, primary long-term care facilities across the U.S. I like that space. I've liked it for quite some time. And they will pay a very nice dividend. Don't think that the earnings are going to go down about 15 cents this year from last year, but that's going to rebound next year. I don't think you need to worry about that. Really, I don't think you need to worry about that much. Okay, we have a trivia question. Earlier this week, I focused on the history of real estate in New York and Manhattan. The COVID-19 crisis has caused upheaval around the country, especially in New York. Now, as we go to break, here's my two-part follow-up real estate question. With regard to luxury real estate in New York City, Manhattan, what percentage of the buildings today constitute residential condominiums? And famously, in which year did Dutch settlers purchase the island of Manhattan from the local Indians? I'll have the answers after this break, but for now, my phone lines are still open. They always will be. I encourage you to call 888-99-CHART.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is InvestTalk. For serious investors, it's all about achieving financial freedom. That's why the unbiased guidance offered by Steve and Justin is so valuable. The InvestTalk Anytime listener lines are open now, and Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I gave you my trivia question with regard to luxury real estate in New York City, Manhattan. What percentage of buildings today constitute residential condominiums? And famously, in which year did the Dutch settlers purchase the island of Manhattan from the local Indians? Here's the answer. In modern Manhattan, in New York City, the property inventory consists of 70% rental buildings, 20% cooperative apartments, 10% condominium apartments. Cooperatives and condominiums are units that can be purchased individually, and that as opposed to needing to buy the whole building. Now, these figures were pre-COVID-19. So will there be any change in the years ahead? I mentioned yesterday that it seems like there should be a change, or there might be a change, because not just because of COVID-19, but also the rioting. People before the rioting wanted to move into the cities, and well, maybe not so much now, because it's dangerous. Anyways, the island of Manhattan, whose current land value, by the way, is $1.4 trillion, was purchased for $24 by Dutch settlers in 1626. And the long, rich history of New York City's real estate market begins in 1609 with its first European settlement. Now, try to remember, centuries ago, the land of Manhattan was granite bedrock surrounded by salt marshes, making it unsuitable for farming or even living on. Did you know that? It wasn't worth much to anybody back then, not even the Indians. So it's interesting. Well, New York City, of course, now, you know, you've seen what's happened to the New York City. It was a great place to visit. I don't know if it still is because of all that rioting going on. I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, I love to visit New York. I worked there, about 2 years, my first 2 years out of college. Worked in Manhattan. Out of California, by the way. So I was a guy from the land, young guy from the lands of fruit and nuts. That's what they call me, that young guy from the land of fruits and nuts, and went to New York. Very different environment. Let's go to Noel in Napa. How you doing, Noel?
Good afternoon, Steve. Yeah, I'm struggling with trying to get into SIL. I was looking for a little pullback when it was in the 30s. I was trying to get it at 35, and it went beyond me. And of course, as you know now, it's up in the upper 40s. So should I just go ahead and jump on it? Because I suspect it's going to go much further, but I'd like to get your view.
Okay. SIL is the ETF seeking performance corresponding to the Global Silver Miners Index. And I do think silver is going higher. I do, Noel. What I would do, since it's hard to know, I mean, yesterday you had a little pullback, and here it went, got it all back today. I close my eyes, I hate to say that, Noel, and maybe buy half a position. And if you can get a pullback to maybe 40, I buy the other half. I just buy it, you know. If you don't get that pullback and it takes off on you, well, at least you got some. That's how my thinking is going. So that's what I would do, Noel. I would just jump in. Okay? Appreciate the call. The KPP Premium Newsletter was distributed to subscribers this morning, and I do this every Friday, as you know. Every Friday, I write that. Write the newsletter and send it out. And I hope that's full of information that you can use. In the market conditions section, I explained that we are seeing economic uncertainty and stock investors are getting nervous. They do not like uncertainty, and stocks have been reflecting this following the recent peak that's to be made in June. The index is, you know, chattering right around the 200-day moving average. Okay, chattering around the 200-day moving average. The economic uncertainty comes from these three areas: the coronavirus, the coming presidential election, trade uncertainties with China. Now, however, investors might be calmed with a new large spending program that is struggling to be passed by Congress. That money could calm the market and continue its path up. Remember, stock markets go up when money comes into it. When money stops flowing into it or slows down or changes direction, that's when the market goes down. It's a very broad statement, but it's true. True. Okay? Portfolio management section. Investors are constantly looking for the next big winner. They scour investment landscape for opportunities and jump at the attractive prospects. But professional investors first analyze the risks, and they focus on the understanding the volatility and risk profile of that asset. Then they determine whether it fits into the portfolio of the person who we're managing the account for. You just don't buy things willy-nilly. You buy them because they're in good value, and that's the first step. But you also buy them to see if they fit. That was what the portfolio management section was about. Stock ideas. A couple of them. One was a big financial product and services company, corporation. It does that for financial institutions and corporations worldwide. They pay a 2.8% dividend, and the stock is selling at a forward PE of 10. They have a huge cash flow of $7.13 per share. And mutual funds are buying it. The other one I highlighted is the company operates 340 supermarkets in 22 states offering natural and organic foods. And we happen to own that one in some of our managed accounts. And, you know, under the consumer watch section, that's the newsletter has four sections in it every week. And I talked about do-it-yourself projects around the house, which can boost your home's value. And what was really, it was kind of interesting. This is something I found in Zillow. Painting your front door will increase the value of your house. Painting your front door. Isn't that interesting? Just painting your front door. But painting the house is one way you can get the most for the least amount, the most for your money for a value increase, the least amount of out-of-pocket expense. So I thought that was interesting. But there's other things I mentioned in there. Okay, let's see. There is a lot of valuable information in that premium newsletter, and it's easy for you to subscribe. You can do it directly through investtalk.com. And after subscribing, you can receive the full report each Friday directly in your inbox. If this information raised any kind of questions in your mind, I encourage you to reach out to Justin or myself at KPP Financial. You can call our office in Irvine or send an email message through investtalk.com. It's pretty simple. It is Friday, and I like to keep the pace moving. So let's grab another caller question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. I had a quick question about Tesla. I bought it at the dip at an average of 560. It's just continuing to climb and climb, and I just wanted to get your opinion on Tesla, and should I sell, should I keep it? I would love to get your input on it. Thanks.
I would take some profits. I wouldn't sell out, but I certainly would sell half. Okay, lock in some profits. It's way overpriced. I mean, they're going to make $14.12 next year, and it's a $1,417 stock, so that's 100 PE. Most auto companies sell under 10 PE. Tell me why this one sells so much over that. Okay, that's what my worry is. Great car company, great products, but the valuations are just unreal, unsustainable, not going to be there. They'd have to sell 100 or 1,000 times more cars than they are today, and they just can't do that because they don't have the facilities. It's going to take them years to get there. So take some off the table. Diversify away from Tesla. But don't sell it all. Because I like it. I like that it's... Justin hates Tesla, by the way. But I like it because I think it's the next big car company. But I think it's insanely overvalued at this point. So, that's TSLA. You know who they are, everybody. Manufacturers of full electric vehicles. That's all they do. Let's go to BJ in Cupertino. How you doing, BJ?
Hey, good. Thank you, Steve. So, basically, I have a question about the pension. So, my previous company, basically, her company split, and then some of the pension money is in the previous company. So we are not considered as employees of that anymore. So is it good to transfer that into rollover into 401k, IRA, I guess? I can't do it to 401k, right?
Well, if is it current? Are you currently in the 401k?
Yes.
Okay, and they're allowing you to roll that into an IRA because they're changing because they're changing their retirement plan, basically.
Yes, so I mean, I could leave it there.
Yeah, I would not.
After when I retire, I get some money every month, or yeah. I have option to roll it over.
I'd roll it over into an IRA because you have more choices of investments. You have more freedom to do what you want. And I like the freedom. I don't like being tied into just the mutual funds or whatever they're offering. And if they allow you to sell stocks, it's super expensive. You could roll that over into an IRA and have free trading at Schwab, TD Ameritrade. I mean, a lot of them. Free stock trading. And you got a lot more freedom. I like that a lot better, BJ. Thanks for the call. Call me if you need help with that. I can help you. Let's go to Carl in Ohio. How you doing, Carl?
Good, Steve. I have a question about Yeti, ticker symbol YETI.
Okay.
I'm thinking about taking a small position in this. Wanted to get your opinion on it.
Design, manufactures, and marketing innovative and outstanding outdoor products. What I remember of Yeti is their ice box. Their I don't know what else they make. What else do they make? That's the only thing I know.
They make like coffee cups and like wine glasses, things like that. Just things that insulate drinks very well.
Okay. Then they're going to make $1.03 this year after making $1.18 last year, but they're going to go up to $1.37 next year. Sales growth is been running around 15-18% on average, quarter after quarter after quarter for last couple of years. So they're doing quite well. $3.9 billion company that came out publicly in 2018, public company, IPO. The IPO price is around, what, $15, $16? And today it's at $45.59. It's a $45 stock going to make $1.37. So that should tell you that it's very expensive. Okay, from a valuation point of view, it's above all. It's a 52 week new high. What, day before yesterday? I think if you get a pullback, Carl, I wait for a little bit of pullback. You might get it down into the $40 range. That's a decent pullback. It could go into the high 30s too. I don't know if I'd buy it here because it's just so expensive. I like the growth. I like the profit margins. They have a little bit of too much debt for me too, and that worries me. But I know of the product of the icebox, but everything else I'm not familiar with enough. So they have good growth. Stock's doing well. Company, management owned 7%. So it's just expensive. I would wait for a pullback. Appreciate the call, Carl. Thank you. 888-99-CHART. That's my number. Love to talk to you. Time to give me a call. The FDA says that there are 75 sanitizers out there that are toxic hand sanitizers. That was up from like 15 the first time I saw this out of the FDA. It has ethanol in it that could cause death if absorbed through your skin or ingested, of course. And some say some of them that have that ethanol in them say that they don't, that they have ethyl alcohol or ethanol, not. So you got to be real careful of what's in these darn things, okay? So check out the link at FDA, okay? It's fda.gov/drugs/drugs-safety-and-availability/, and it goes on and on and on. But check it out. They have a list. Also, MarketWatch had an article today about this. FDA, you can Google that. Get that article because they listed products that have this in them. And some of these products are illegal shouldn't be on our market. All of them should not have this in this poison in them, but they do. So be very careful. Everybody's all, give me sanitizers and all that stuff, man, but make sure you know what you're putting on yourself. Okay? On the next Invest Talk, this story. Famed billionaire Elon Musk of Tesla is warning that another government stimulus package is not the best interest of the people. Is he right? Why does he make this claim? That story is Monday. For now, I'm Steve Pisa. I'm ready to take your questions live, 888-99-CHART.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
It's been another Investor Friday, and we've all seen the market move up, down, and all around. It's called volatility, and you'll have investment and finance questions for Steve and Justin. They welcome your calls now. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. Thank you for your show. I really, really enjoy listening to it. So I had a question about GE, General Electric. So I was wondering what the charts say and what you guys thought about it. I'm looking to get into it. And in terms of time frame, I'm looking at both the short term from a 4 to 6 week out, if it's a good trade, and also from a 1 to 2 year time frame, if it's something worth holding on that long at all. Thank you so much, and love everything that you guys do. Take care.
Okay, I don't think so. General Electric, GE is a symbol of manufacturing, transportation, energy generation, consumer appliances, industrial, medical equipment. The reason why I say that is it made 65 cents in 2019, 65 cents a share. It's scheduled to make 8 cents a share this year and then 39 cents a share next year. It's a $6.86. That means it's over a 20 PE. And its sales have been falling consistently for years. I mean, they're going in the wrong direction as far as numbers tell. It's still a $60 billion company, but it's not the old GE. Don't think in those terms. Pays a 0.6% dividend, has lots of debt. The return on equity is pretty hefty, pretty good at 21. Okay, this stock went down to 550 and today it's at 686. Before the COVID thing, it was a $13 stock. I could go back up to about $9. I think that's where it could go, but I wouldn't put my money in it simply because I don't know what would be the catalyst for that. What's going to make it go up? I mean, it hasn't done very well compared to the rest of the market. Yeah, it's just not the old GE we used to love. Just not. General Electric. Okay, tension with China. Okay, China, did you see the flooding in China, by the way? You see all that flooding? It's going to cost them billions of dollars. And the worry is, this is the Yangtze River, right? And this is the Three Gorges Dam that they built, some huge dam. Took them 10, 20 years, I don't remember how long, but forever. And they are now worried about, they meaning not China, they will never say that. The rest of the world, the experts, are worried that can it hold this flooding, this huge flooding problem that's been unprecedented in China. No one's really reporting on it here in the United States, but there's massive floods in cities and just huge, huge problem. Now, this comes right after their COVID issue. So this is really going to affect China. But the one thing I wanted to talk about, and not too many people know this or are paying attention, we closed their Houston consulate. We closed our Houston consulate this week. Why did we do that? Because our government said the Chinese consulate tried to steal data from facilities in Texas, including Texas A&M Medical System. I guarantee you they were trying to do that. I guarantee it. That's why many of these consulates exist. You don't think the Russians and Chinese tried to do that? Of course they do. And of course, we try to do the same thing to them. China retaliated by closing our consulate in the Chengdu area, whatever government that, whatever city that is, Chengdu, I think is how it's pronounced. I'm not sure. But why I'm bringing this up is because things are ratcheting up. Tension is ratcheting up with China. You know, first it was this COVID thing, okay, where, you know, the virus came from China. They didn't bother telling us about it, didn't care to tell the rest of the world. They just thought that they'd keep that secret. And, of course, it spread throughout the world. And it came from one of their labs. You know they're developing they're trying to weaponize these things. You know it. That's an open secret. So tensions are getting difficult more and more all the time. I'm Steve Peasley. Thank you for listening to Invest Talk. I will return next week. Justin Klein will be here on Monday. In the meantime, please tell your friends that we have posted a new June bonus show. Justin and I answer 30 caller questions at a faster than normal pace. It can be downloaded for free at InvestTalk.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Have a good weekend, everybody. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.